This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
Today we continue in part two of this series, What is God's Will for My Life? And we're talking about open doors and closed doors. And I don't know, maybe you have an opportunity that's been presented to you recently and you're wondering whether or not you should take it, walk through that door. Some of you are in a position, a place, a job, a home, whatever the case may be, and you're thinking the door is closing or slamming shut maybe on you and you should be pursuing other opportunities. Today, what we're gonna see from the scripture is that discerning between open and closed doors takes biblical wisdom, spiritual maturity, and other discerning voices to walk alongside with us and help us to understand God at work in our life. But I want to start in Psalm 90 and verse 10 today. This has become a passage for me to meditate on as I think about the brevity of life and as I think about the time that I have left. This one verse, it's the only psalm that we have attributed to Moses, but we get so many themes, so many threads that carry throughout all of the Bible in this one verse. He starts by saying, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. This isn't a guarantee, but it's speaking of the typical ordinary lifespan. You get 70 to 80 years. And of those years, the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. And I've been singing this song. Somebody sent me this group called Southern Revival, Southern Gospel Revival. I love it. It's Southern gospel music, and I've been singing I'll Fly Away all week as I've thought about this verse. I've been sending it to our worship team. Man, check these guys out. I even sent it to the people at Silver Dollar City. You want to get this group in for the Bluegrass and Barbecue Festival. Cortland Ingram comes up to me and goes, I don't know how to tell you this, but that thing you're sending around, it's AI. I'm 52 and being tricked already by the AI. I had to call my kids and give them all my passwords to my bank accounts and copies of the trust. I'm like, I can't be trusted anymore. I'm sending fake stuff out there. Life is short. It's difficult. You're not gonna be here very long. So the question becomes, what do we do then? What do we do then? And some of you, it doesn't matter what you do. You understand you're gonna die. Welcome to Woodland Hills Family Church. We're glad you're here. It doesn't matter how much kale you eat, how much CrossFit you do, how much Pilates you do, take your probiotics, eat your 200 grams of protein a day. You've seen that. I've never had more. I have more pressure as an adult to take protein than I ever did to do drugs as a teenager. Eat your protein. Drink your apple cider vinegar. Put coconut oil on everything. Eliminate plastics from your home. Eat organic, gluten-free, dairy-free, low-carb, no GMO, grass-fed. Drink beet juice, matcha tea, bone broth, almond milk. Do red light therapy. Take cold plunges. You're still going to die. So, I stole that rant from my friend Jason Strand in Minnesota. And I told him, you're in great shape. I'm gonna sell that bit way better than you, my brother. So the question becomes, what do we do? Go down two verses in Psalm 90 to verse 12. We get, teach us to number our days. We shouldn't be afraid of this truth. We should really use this truth to our advantage. We should number our days. Why? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. I don't know how much time I have left, but what I do know is I wanna make the most of it. I don't know what the Lord, I don't have a detailed roadmap or plan for the next 10, 20, or 30 years, but I know I want to make the most of it. Remember, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, but when Jesus asked us rhetorical questions, the answer's in the question. And here's the question Jesus asked in Matthew 6, 27. Can any one of you worrying add a single hour to your life? No. No. So what do we do with this? How do we get wisdom? Well, as the psalmist says, I want to delight in God's will, and I want to trust God's will. If you're joining us for the first time in this series, last week, we looked at following the moral will of God and trusting the sovereign will of God. The moral will of God, and we looked at four places, the only four places in the New Testament where it explicitly says, this is the will of God, do this. And we looked at those four lights to line up, and we talked about the moral will of God coming straight from Scripture. that applies to all of us, and we're to trust the sovereign will of God, which are the plans of God that cannot be thwarted by any human. What do? We delight in that. We trust in that. I want to do the right thing, take wise steps today and tomorrow, and trust him with the results. The Bible's clear. We don't know what will happen tomorrow, so we most definitely shouldn't boast about tomorrow. We don't have a roadmap for the future, can't control it, and we most definitely, then with all of that, not worry about it. Because worrying lulls us into thinking we're in charge. Worrying lulls us into thinking we're the center of the universe. As you think about tomorrow and plan for your future, which you should, don't for a minute think you can control it. Don't think for a moment that you're going to solve the problem of the trouble and sorrow that follows us all the days of our lives. You and I are here for a short time, and we want God to direct our paths and guide us. And this is why Jesus says a little bit further down, don't worry about tomorrow. Plan for it, yes, the Bible tells us, number your days. Save for it. Don't devour everything you have today. Put some away for tomorrow. Okay, think about it, plan for it. But for tomorrow's gonna worry about itself. Guess what? Tomorrow will be there when you get there. And it's gonna have plenty to do tomorrow. Today, this day has plenty of opportunities for you, and today has plenty of problems for you to solve. So take care of what's right in front of you. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And here's what worry does. Worry divides our mind. It distracts us. It divides our mind between what is and what if. What's right in front of us, what we know we're supposed to take care of right now, but these are the scenarios we talked about last week. We start pondering in our mind all the things that could happen, and we start coming up with conversations and plans off of the what ifs. Next week, to conclude the series, we're gonna talk about the should haves. So we talk about regret. We all can look back through our lives and think about opportunities that were given that we didn't take. Oh, I wish I would have bought Bitcoin back then. I wish I would have had the DeLorean. I would have known how to make that decision, right? We all can live with the should haves, but today we're talking about dealing with what is and not letting the what ifs keep us from moving forward. I don't know how many days I have left, how many weeks I have left, how many years I have left. I hope it's many. I wanna make the most of them. I wanna be here at the end of the month for my son's wedding. I want to be a grandpa one day. When I think about all that, and isn't that great? I mean, how many of you, if you cried during Chris Stapleton's song this morning, would you raise your hand and just share it with everybody around you? Yeah, I was emotional too, and I heard it twice so far. The next gathering, I'll cry a third time. As we think about the future, I wanna see my grandkids graduate. Wouldn't that be phenomenal? But guess what? I am promised none of that. I'm promised none of that. So I wanna make today count. I wanna make the most for today for Christ. And as we talk about God's will and open doors and closed doors today, I want you to see discovering God's will for your life is not about finding a secret, detailed roadmap for the future. It's about trusting the Lord, delighting in his will, making your plans, but allowing the Lord to ultimately direct your steps. And discerning between open doors and closed doors is what we're gonna see today. And again, this takes biblical wisdom, spiritual maturity, and it takes other discerning voices to help you do that. So let's start with open doors. Any of you right now maybe have an opportunity that's been presented to you that you feel fits your personality, you can add something to the organization maybe that's wanting to hire you or the place you're supposed to move, and you're like, that really fits with what we've been talking about for years. And you're trying to figure out if this is an open door you are to step through. So what doors are presented to you right now? Because what we're gonna see, and I've been meditating on this passage all week, because sometimes when a door presents itself and opens to us, we think this is gonna be smooth sailing. I'm gonna take this step. If this is truly the Lord's will in my life, this should be easy. And the Hebrew term for that is, it's not true. And why? So what Paul shares with the Corinthians at the end of 1 Corinthians and in chapter 16, he's just giving them his plans for the future. He has ministry plans, things he wants to accomplish, places he wants to go, things he wants to do. As he's sharing those plans, verse 9 of chapter 16, I've meditated on it all week. And some of you, as you're processing the open doors in your life, need to take this verse with you this week. We'll start in verse 5. He just says, after I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps, hold on to that. What great language to use when we're talking about our plans. Perhaps, maybe, it might happen. Perhaps I will stay with you for a while or even spend the winter. He's sharing desires here. So that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. Verse 7, for I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I want it to be more lasting. I want it to have greater impact, greater effectiveness. I hope to spend time with you, and this is the key, if the Lord permits. I'm gonna take the step, I'm gonna make the plan, but ultimately the Lord is going to determine it. Verse 8, but I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, and here it is, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and watch what he tags here, and there are many who oppose me. Three things in that last part I want you to see. Effective work, open door, and opposition. He's saying, I have an open door. Stuff's getting done. Like, let me tell you, the obstacles, the criticism, the things coming against me, it's a lot. But I know this is still where I'm supposed to be. I was sharing with a friend this week, and I just said, you know, next Sunday marks 24 years as a church. We started Woodland Hills 24 years ago here in Branson, Missouri. And when I think about Branson, I was telling my buddy, I said, in all the things that we've been through and everything that's come against this church, there are times I just sit back and I say it. I've been saying it more and more and more and more lately. I just say, only God. Only God. Because if it was for opposition, I would have left a long time ago. But here's what I've discovered. And there have been plenty of opportunities that come in. I'm like, Amy, let's move and get away from these crazy people. Not Woodland Hills, but the town and the city and the thing, just that can go on. But you know what I've discovered? And if you live a while, and I'm looking around at some people that are in that 70, 80 year mark right now, and they're gonna nod when I say this. If I go to another town, you know what's waiting for me in the next town? Crazy people. And then you go to that town, guess what's in that town? Crazy people. You can move countries, and you know what you're gonna find? Crazy people transcend cultures. They transcend time. And so sometimes we can be lulled into thinking, people are coming against me, it's time for me to split. Or are people coming against you? Is there opposition because effective work is being done? The better question to ask is not, I have opposition, should I leave? The better question to ask is the work I'm doing effective? So if you have an open door right now in front of you that you're wondering if you should step through, and we're gonna look at how to discern this with a few questions at the end, but if you're wondering if you should step through it, I don't think we spend enough time talking about, will I be effective? Is effective work going to be done? I had a buddy of mine, I texted him this week, and I found out on social media that he took this job. The predecessor on this job was, he went through a terrible time, finally left. And then when I found out they hired my buddy, the board hired him, and I was like, I can't believe it. I texted him and I go, congratulations, I think. And he responded back, what have I done? Have I made a big mistake? And I asked him some, you know, diagnostic questions, and I go, oh no, you're exact. But let me tell you something. And if you've ever been a leader in this church that's called me, that has stepped through an open door to take on a new assignment, I have a bunch of John Maxwell stuff I share with you, and I really only got one line that I share that I don't attribute to John Maxwell. It's just simply, the more leadership you take on, the bigger the target on your back grows. If you're experiencing opposition right now, I want you to understand something about opposition. Opposition does not mean the door is closed. No, my friend Jason Strand, that rant I just gave you about health food, he says this, the greater the opportunity, often the greater the opposition. You might be there right now, a door open, you walked through it, but now there's all kinds of opposition, conflict, criticism. You're trying to get something done and it's obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. Opposition doesn't always mean that you are outside the will of God. Sometimes it means you are square in the middle of it. How have you been handling opposition? Have you ever been surprised by an opportunity you were not expecting, you didn't ask for, you didn't feel qualified for? Over 15 years ago, our church was going through a ton of opposition, and it was exhausting. And I got a phone call from Phoenix, Arizona, from a marriage ministry, and they said, "Ted, come out here. We want to talk to you." And I went out. Amy and I went out. And I'll be honest with you, it was very flattering, very attractive. I'm like, I should totally take this because this fits my gifting, my personality, my passion, my experience. And this new opportunity, I was even sold this. Looks like a cakewalk. It's going to be so easy. And Amy and I just were like, the door hasn't closed in Branson. But for a year, we went out there, and I can remember walking through I don't know how many homes with my children. Do you like this as your bedroom? Do you like this as your bedroom? I think what helped is we were doing all of this in Phoenix in August. And I'd come out of every home and be like, I don't want to live here. Anyway, it was 120 degrees. But we're like, this is so, I'm like, should we do it? And let me tell you, here's where we came to. An open door does not guarantee smooth sailing. Right, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy. And as we would do, you've probably done it, a pro and a con list. We would do it, and I said, and there were some personalities. We were kind of dancing around there as well, and I'm just like, Amy, I can't. We talked to several other people, and they just kept coming back to Woodland Hills Family Church in Branson, and really all we were experiencing here was opposition, but I didn't even know it at the time, but people were asking me the question, is what you're doing there still effective? And that's a question you need to ask yourself. Don't be so focused on the opposition that you lose sight of how effective you are being. What doors are opening for you right now? You're trying to discern. We'll get to that in a second, but one more thing to just share from a practical side. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. So you can't just look at the open door. You also have to understand, is this a door that God is closing? And so here's why I keep saying biblical wisdom, spiritual maturity, and other discerning voices. Because there's a tension in the Bible between open and closed doors for ministry. So Paul is talking about opposition and how the work is effective. He's dealing with some obstacles and dealing with some personalities, but he's staying to continue on in Ephesus. Jesus, as we start and move and transition now to closed doors, he's getting ready to send out the 12, and he's giving them their instructions before they go out. And he tells them, you're going to declare that the kingdom is near. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to raise the dead. Okay, you're going to cast out demons. And as you come to a town or to a home, if they accept you, go in, share. If they don't, Here's what we get. This is, again, the tension between 1 Corinthians 16 and Matthew 10. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Do you see the tension there between opposition and what this Jesus is speaking of is rejection? So now it gets a little cloudier, maybe a little muddier for you. It's like, so I got to now discern between opposition and rejection. I grew up in a church where we did door-to-door evangelism. Like anybody do this in the church that you grew up in? So we knocked on doors. They would open the door at 9 a.m. on a Saturday, and we would ask the question, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven or hell? And they'd be sitting there with their coffee going, give me a second. Some people welcomed us into their home. We shared the good news with them. Some became believers right there in their family room. Others said, I need to think about it, and they sent us on our way. Do you know how many times doing that, if you're going to do that on a regular basis, people are going to slam the door in your face? What Jesus is sharing here and what I've experienced and many of you have experienced, as you go to share the message, the door literally slams in your face. Go to the next door. And here's what we learn about, now, not opposition, but about rejection. Rejection redirects us to new opportunities. Same mission, same calling, I need to go and share. And so I'm gonna take this closed door as a time now to go knock on another door. Rejection. Now I have to throw in opposition, rejection. What about delay? What if you're not getting a no, but you're getting a not yet? So some of you just see the door cracked open a little bit, but you're like, I can't really fit through here yet. And we go to work trying to open it. In Romans 1:13, Paul says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now. Many of you have been given an open door. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And you thought it was an open door you should walk through, and you were like, not now. I have a friend in a business decision. He said, man, if I would have said yes to that last year, this would have happened, this would have happened, this would have happened. But now the timing is right. And he says, it was so hard to not take advantage of this in order that I might have a harvest among you. So there's that effectiveness again. Like, I'm going to be more effective after the delay, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. Have you ever had a door slam shut on something you enjoyed, you were passionate about, felt called to, equipped to do? You're like, I'm trying to discern this voice. I have a good buddy, if you remember Date Night Comedy years ago, Jason Earls, a friend of mine from Dallas, phenomenal comedian. We traveled for years together. And he just has a pastor's heart. I could sense it right off the get-go. And he's a great preacher. And one night, we were having dinner years ago, and he said, yeah, our pastor announced his retirement and succession. And I looked at Jason and said, you should totally throw your name in there. And he goes, no, I don't want to do it. I like comedy. I go, I think you're a pastor, if I'm being honest with you. And you preach for your pastor at your church. He goes, I don't know. I don't think I should. I go, no. I said, I just want, and he talked to some other guys. And Jason became the pastor of that church in Garland, Texas. And I was able, I've been with Jason for years, and I had dinner with him on Monday night in Dallas, and sat down across from me. I was so excited to meet. I hug him, he sits down, and he looks at me and he goes, what have you done? I said, I didn't do nothing. He goes, you did. This is all your fault. I was enjoying comedy. Let me tell you something. You don't have a bunch of angry people leaving after a comedy show. Every now and then somebody will want their money back, but you can deal with that. Now all I got is, and I said, are you called? And he goes, yeah, I know I'm called. Open doors, closed doors. How do you discern this? So what I want to do in the time that we have left is give you four diagnostic questions. I had a buddy that called me several weeks ago. He was dealing with some stuff, and I know he watches regularly, and He made a business decision he didn't feel great about, and I started with the moral will of God. I said, have you done anything illegal? And I loved his response. That no, and why would you even ask that? Okay, that's where we're starting. Anything unethical? Anything shady? Did you cut any corners? Did you not tell the, I mean, did you do it? No. I asked him a bunch of other diagnostic questions, and I finally told my friend, be at peace. Walk in that freedom. Take a deep breath with the permissive will of God. But how can you discern biblical wisdom, right? Trusting the Lord at work in your life, listening to other voices. So these questions, I'm going to give you four of them, are in order. If you're taking notes, don't flip this list. Too many people start with question number four, and they end up, you know, shipwrecking their lives. You want to start with question number one when you're discerning an open or closed door. Does it align with Scripture? If the answer is no, door not only shut, door slam shut. And that's what I love about the ceremonies that we're doing as a church. People said, I want to honor the Lord. I want to honor marriage. I want to honor the moral will of God and honor one another. Some of you are like, should I date that person right now? And that's the open, closed door you're looking for. You're a sold-out believer in Christ Jesus. That person is not. The answer is no. You don't even need to ask the next three questions. Right? You don't need to do the missionary dating thing. Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, here it is again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In this picture, the idea of leaning here, it's like the Lord is an oak tree established that we can lean up against and we can trust. Our own understanding, often guided by the ways of the world, will let us down. Don't lean on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. In all your ways, submit to Him. We've looked at this extensively, the moral will of God, and He will make your paths straight. We're trusting Him with this. In Romans 12, Verse 2, we read, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is why we memorize and meditate on Scripture. We want to renew our minds with what is true. We want to have this as our filter. It's the number one question to ask. Doing that, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We want to understand His will. So it starts with aligning with Scripture. If it doesn't align with Scripture, the answer is no. Number two, did I seek wise counsel? Proverbs 15, 22, plans fail for the lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. As I look around this room, as I looked around at 8:15, there's a lot of seniors. You're in your fourth quarter. You're in that 70 to 80 mark of life. And here's one of the things I don't like about retirement. I said it in Branson. Okay, here's one of the things that really frustrates me about Branson. Some of you retired from your job. You left your job at the peak. You left with all this wisdom and all of this experience. You turned it over to a 20-year-old who knows nothing. And it's sad to me. And I get you got your retirement, go live your life. But how many of you say amen? You still got stuff in the tank. You got plenty to, this sounds like a 40-year-old saying that, amen. I'm talking about the blossoming almond trees in the room. You gray hair, Chuck, say amen back there. I see you sitting there, amen. You got stuff to offer. So sure, you're retired. Sure, you don't take a check from that company anymore. You know how valuable of a resource you are to this church and to the young believers in this room? You got a lot in the tank. One of my dearest friends in life right now, he's a 69-year-old retired pastor. I think he's got more influence in his pinky than 10 of us combined have in our entire bodies. He's full of wisdom. And I'm like, you have so much left in the tank. How do we get that out of you? I don't make any decisions now in my life without consulting two or three of these guys. They have wisdom. And the things they come up with, the Bible also says in Proverbs 19, listen to advice and accept instruction. Watch it, that you may gain wisdom in the future. I want to be that old guy one day, Chuck. I want to be you one day. But I want that wisdom for my life now, and I can get it from older, gray-haired men and women. I want to be that older, if the Lord permits. I want to be that older, wiser person one day that I might not have a certain job or a title, but there's still something left in the tank. There's influence that you can pour into other people. Can I just tell you something, young people? We had all these college graduates up here. If you don't have an old person in your life that you're listening to on a regular basis, get one, a wise one. One, don't get a broke person, right? If you're going into, right? Find someone who's been successful in whatever you do. Dave Ramsey said, don't take financial advice from broke people. But you want to find wise people, people who will guide you in this decision-making and plan. So does it align with Scripture? Did I seek wise counsel? What did they say? And then number three, this is obvious. Have I prayed about this? Have I truly sought the Lord? Have I fasted and prayed about this? If you're making a big decision, like move, like cross-country move, making the decision to take a new job, maybe to change career paths. All the college students in here, you're gonna be choosing in college what degree path to take. Some of you that graduated high school going into the trades, like you're making decisions that are gonna put you on a trajectory for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. These are big decisions. Seek wise counsel, pray about it. Don't just be flippant in this. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Bring Him everything. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. And then question number four, and this is key. This cannot be your question number one, and too many people make it question number one. This is at the end of does it align with Scripture? Did I seek wise counsel? Have I prayed about it? But it's number four, do I have peace? I believe the Lord works this way in our lives, that I've sought wise counsel. I have a decision to make. I've searched the Scripture. It aligns with Scripture. I've sought wise counsel. I've prayed about it. The Bible says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. This is what we talked about last week, that if you ever meet someone, how'd you end up in Branson? They say it was a God thing. And then they explain to you. They can't fully explain it, but they know they were led here by the Lord. That's an understanding that we don't have completely. But how about this? It transcends all of it. It will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I grew up in a church that a Baptist church that taught God's will. Like, you're in a service, you get called to be a missionary, but not just called to be a missionary. He calls you to a continent, to a nation, to a city. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, it's very direct. You hear the voice of God. Well, I kind of go with, you know, a lot of pastors throughout church history who said God works through our plans and all that, but he ultimately directs our steps. And it didn't make sense to me because I was so hardline with this when I was young in ministry. And then I sat down with a guy who had very effective work in Illinois, and he had just taken a job in California and had an effective work there. And so Amy and I were at dinner with him, and I said, man, how did that work? And he kind of went through his decision-making process, and he said, Ted, I'll be honest with you. At the end of the day, my wife and I, we fasted, we prayed about this decision, and the Lord told us clearly that we could stay in Chicago or we could go to California. And I'm like, no, that's not how that works at all. Like, you needed, he goes, no. He said, we were doing effective work here. We're doing effective work here now. And he was one of those of the Reformed tradition that believed, follow God's moral will and trust his sovereign will and his plan in your life and watch God direct your steps. You're gonna have opportunities. You're gonna have things come across your path. And my encouragement to you today is don't make that big decision. Don't make it until you search the scripture, till you ask some of the gray-haired people around this church. Take them to coffee, buy their coffee. Pray, fast, invite others to pray and fast with you. Seek the peace of the Lord, which transcends all understanding. As you seek the biblical wisdom and the spiritual maturity and the discerning voices to make these big decisions. Would you pray with me? Father, I'm grateful for what you continue to do in this church. Obstacles, conflict, opposition, but the work remains effective, and for that we're grateful. We continue to focus on the effectiveness. Use us, grow us, mature us. The wisdom that's in this room and across campus, use it to guide and direct the generations to come as they seek to do your will. For the one who's never placed faith in Jesus, that today would be the day they repent of their sins, turn from them, head straight to the cross, and declare with their mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead, that they would be saved. We pray all this in the authority of the name of Jesus, and everyone agreed and said, Amen. Amen.